Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
His saucer was parked in the woods, and Mr. Styriot from Venus was parked in the lobby. Short Snorter by Charles Einstein. That's next on the Lost Sci-Fi Podcast. What does Willie Mays, Curb Your Enthusiasm, stuntman Super Dave Osborne, and the 1991 movie Defending Your Life, starring Albert Brooks, Meryl Streep, and Rip Torn, have to do with today's story? The answer coming up. Thanks for listening, sharing, and commenting on the Lost Sci-Fi Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you listen. Comments on our YouTube channel have exploded in the last few weeks. Mir Zami says, "I am loving your channel. Thank you for the blast from the past and the great entertainment. Phenomenal quality podcast, one of the best." Thank you, Mir Zami, or Zami, or however you say that. Thunder Ace 4588 had this to say: "How you narrate these stories makes the characters come to life for me. Thank you, Scott Miller." Well, thank you, Thunder Ace 4588. Commenting on The World That Couldn't Be by Clifford D. Simak, Chris Gale 5634 says, "Simak was just brilliant. He is largely forgotten about these days, so it's great to honor his stories." I agree with you, Chris Gale 5634, and thanks for your comment. And Harry Grimley 4352 says, "Narrator's voice is great. Makes me think of Casey Kasem." Well, thanks, Harry Grimley 4352. You know, I hear that quite frequently, and have heard it dating back to my days on the radio. As Casey Kasem was listened to by millions of adoring fans, I accept your kind words as a huge compliment. Thanks to all of you who choose to comment on our YouTube channel, and although I am behind, I will respond to all comments as soon as possible. While most podcast listening platforms do not allow comments, we want to encourage you to join us on our Facebook page. You can comment there. There's a link in the description. Charles Einstein, the author of today's story, was an author and a sports writer. He was born in Boston in 1926. He was a newspaper man, specifically a baseball writer. And his 1979 book, Willie's Time, Baseball's Golden Age, telling of May's career and the events in American society when he starred for the Giants, was a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize. Einstein had two younger half-brothers, Bob and Albert. Bob Einstein was an actor, comedy writer, and producer. He created and performed the character Super Dave Osborne and appeared as an actor on Curb Your Enthusiasm and Arrested Development. His brother and our author's half-brother was born Albert Lawrence Einstein, also known as Albert Brooks. The 1991 romantic comedy fantasy film Defending Your Life, one of my personal favorites, was written, directed, and starred Albert Brooks. There was a lot of talent in that family. Charles Einstein wrote several novels, including The Bloody Spur, on which the 1956 film While the City Sleeps, directed by Fritz Lang of Metropolis fame, was based. Charles wrote five short science fiction stories in the late 1950s and early 60s. Look for his first short fiction story, Tunnel 1971, written in 1957, in a future episode. Discover the third of Einstein's five stories on page 77 of If Worlds of Science Fiction in August 1958. Short Snorter by Charles Einstein. Three paths led through the woods away from the resort hotel, and of the three, two were clearly marked, one with a sign that said it led to the lake, the other pointing toward the golf links. The third pathway was unmarked, and this was the one that inevitably the lovers and the honeymooners took, the path that Alice and Fred Daniels followed today. The sun was unusually warm for this time of year, but only a few yards along the pathway, Fred and Alice were swallowed up by the great and near-great trees of the forest. The sunlight was, except for an occasional patch of light here and there, warded away by the foliage above. The forest was very quiet. The pathway bridged a silent brook, and then, perhaps a third of a mile into the woods, turned abruptly to the left, and the woods became even more dense, the pathway narrow. Through the trees to the right at this point was a clearing, an unusual grassy circle, perhaps 60 yards in diameter. It was not the clearing itself, however, but instead the glint of color in the sunlight that caused Fred and Alice to stop and look. Alice said, "Fred, what is that?" "Don't know," he said. "Something red. Let's look." The two of them turned off the path and made their way through a dismal barrage of thicket to the clearing that lay beyond. When they got there, they saw the circular object. Vehicle might be a better word. It was possibly 15 yards in diameter. It seemed to be made of three rings, smaller ones bottom and top, and the larger one ribbing the center, and to be constructed of some kind of plastic. Between the central and upper rings were set a series of small windows. The entire thing was painted a gaudy red. "What do you think it is?" Fred said. "A flying saucer," Alice said promptly. She laughed a little, but clutched at her husband's arm. "Isn't it?" "I don't know." "But what else would it be?" "I don't know," Fred said again. "Let's look inside." "Fred," Alice said, "you'd better not." "Don't be silly," he said, and walked resolutely up to the object and, standing on tiptoe, peered through one of the windows. "What is it?" Alice called from the edge of the clearing. "What do you see?" "It's empty," he called back. "What's inside?" Fred shook his head. "You won't believe it." "What?" "It's got a steering wheel," he called out hollowly, "and some dials." "My goodness," Alice said. "Is it a real one?" "How do I know?" he said, and rejoined her, casting a series of glances uncertainly over his shoulder at the bright red saucer behind him. "What do you suppose we ought to do?" "Tell somebody," Alice said. "I suppose." "Who do we tell?" "I don't know. There must be somebody. They looked almost guiltily at each other. Nobody'll believe us, Fred said. Why not? Alice said. It's here, isn't it? Fred stopped and thought. Who knows how long it'll stay? They looked at each other again. Then Alice said slowly, If we went back and got the camera... Swiftly, they made their way back toward the hotel through the quiet forest. When they got there, they found Mr. Mason, the manager of the hotel, adjusting the badminton net in front of the main porch. Mr. Mason loosed a ready smile. How's everything? He said. Find enough to do? Yes, thank you, Fred said to him. We were just walking through the woods. We came back for our camera, then we're off again. Mr. Mason nodded. Find the saucer? Fred looked at him. You mean the flying saucer? The manager nodded again. I see you did find it. Good. Take a picture of it, by all means. I've already taken a whole batch myself. You have? Fred said, frowning. What's it all about? It's a flying saucer, Mr. Mason said. From Venus. Mr. Styriot, who piloted, is a guest here. I can introduce you to him if you like. He speaks excellent English. Fred Daniels said, Wait a minute, you... Oh, there's no point in it, Mr. Mason said in a weary tone of voice. No point in it at all. I took pictures. I tried to get the army up here. I wrote letters. He shrugged expressively. It's a cynical age we live in, I guess. Everybody's very polite, but they make it clear they think it's just a gimmick I worked up to get the hotel publicity. He nodded seriously. The whole trouble's with Mr. Styriot. If he had a light bulb for a head or seven legs or talk funny, why, it'd be a different thing entirely. But he looks and acts just like you or I. Here I've got a legitimate flying saucer sitting on my property, and you might as well try to tell them it's a flying saucer, for all they'll believe me. Now you two have seen it with your own eyes, and you don't believe it either. Fred swallowed and looked at Alice for a moment. Then he said, What did you say his name was? Mr. Styriot, Mr. Mason said. Actually, he's just as happy nobody believes he's from Venus. If they believed it, they'd probably lock him up in jail somewhere, or impound his saucer. As it is, he says this is the first vacation he's had in years. Mr. Mason looked unhappily about him. He's probably in the lounge now. Want to meet him?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, marketers, advertisers, and business owners. Find yourself chatting up the same audience in the same places, using the same old lines? Maybe it's time to podcast the net further to catch your next customer. With Acast, there's plenty of fish in the sea with more than 100,000 podcasts and millions of listeners, so there's a perfect match for every business. Use our ad platform to cast your net, then narrow down using targeting such as demographic, show categories, audience segments, and more. Find your match, then reel them in. Advertise on more than 100,000 podcasts with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Fred said dazedly, come on, Mr. Mason said. He won't bite you. He led the way up the steps of the porch and into the lounge and over to where a small mustachioed man, wearing eyeglasses and appearing to be in his late 40s, was working a crossword puzzle in the morning paper. Mr. Styriot, Mr. Mason said, I should like you to meet Mr. and Mrs. Daniels, also guests here. They have just seen your saucer. Charmed, Mr. Styriot said. and got to his feet. He shook hands with Fred Daniels. "Are you here for a long stay, Mr. Daniels?" "I'm not sure," Fred said, a little unhappily. "Mr. Mason told us you were from Venus."
"I told them about you, Mr. Styriot," Mr. Mason said. "Naturally, they don't believe it any more than anybody else."
"No reason why they should," Mr. Styriot said amiably. "No reason in the world, if I may coin a phrase. Dr. Phelps at the Institute didn't believe it either." Mr. Mason said,
"Mr. Styriot here had a long interview with Dr. Phelps of the Geophysical Institute at Princeton when he first arrived here on Earth with us."
"Oh," Fred said. He gazed uncomfortably at Mr. Styriot. "We didn't mean to interrupt you."
"I was only doing the crossword puzzle," Mr. Styriot said.
"Do you know a two-letter word for sun god?" Alice said, "Is this your first trip here?"
"You mean here to the hotel?" Mr. Styriot said.
"Or to Earth?"
"Earth," Fred said dismally.
"My second," Mr. Styriot said. "First trip, I wound up near Leningrad. Terrible time. I thought they'd talk English, but they don't. And they thought I was an American. And two of their officials got into the saucer with me, and the only way I could save myself was to take off with them. They're on Venus now."
"This accounts," Mr. Mason broke in, "for the way those two high Russian officials suddenly disappeared from sight 3 years ago. You remember? Everybody thought they'd been liquidated."
Fred Daniels looked around the room. A hollow, frightening feeling had come upon him. There were hundreds of questions he could have asked, and yet he wanted nothing so much as to be away from there. His wife Alice, though, was constrained to learn more about Mr. Styriot. She said, "Mr. Styriot, may I ask you something?"
"By all means," Mr. Styriot said, and blinked owlishly at her.
"Do you," Alice said to him, "carry any money?" It was, Fred Daniels realized, a marvelous question. If there were sham here, this would be the quickest way to...
"Why, of course," Mr. Styriot said, and reached for his wallet.
"Let's see, health insurance, saucer driver's license. Here, my dear, a 5-digit bill." He extracted a yellow banknote and handed it to Alice. The banknote, slightly larger than an American dollar bill, was remarkably similar in other particulars. It had upon it a picture of a flying saucer, the figure 5, and spelled out 5 digits.
"Let me sign it for you," Mr. Styriot said, taking out a pen.
"You can have it for a souvenir,
like the short snorters in the war," Mr. Mason, the hotel manager, said. "You remember them, Mr. Daniels? Where people got famous signatures on 5 and 10 and 20 dollar bills and exchanged them and whatnot, and they called them short snorters?"
"I remember," Fred Daniels said. "Something like that."
5 digits on Venus," Mr. Styriot said, signing his name with a flourish, "is worth about $20 here on Earth. No official rate of exchange, of course, but from what I've seen, that's about what I judge. Here you go." He handed the bill over.
"Well, wait then," Fred Daniels said. "I ought to sign one of our bills for you."
"Ah, no need for that," Mr. Styriot said. "No doubt you need $20 worse than I need 5 digits.
"Don't be ridiculous," Fred said, a little stiffly. And by now committed, he went into his wallet and came out with a $20 bill. He signed his name to it, using Mr. Styriot's fountain pen.
"Wonderful," Mr. Styriot said. "How nice to have met you both." "I feel very badly about this," Mr. Mason, the hotel manager, said to Fred and Alice. The three of them were on the porch outside. "This short snorter business always seems to happen whenever I introduce Mr. Styriot to anyone. Dr. Phelps at the Institute gave him $50. Can you imagine that?"
"It's interesting in its way," Fred said. "It just occurred to me.
Mr. Styria can spend Earth money here, but we can't spend Venus money.
That's true, Mr. Mason said. On the other hand, Mr. Styria has never once, to my knowledge, been the one to bring up the subject. I think it's quite painful to him, really. But the same thing inevitably occurs to everybody he meets. You know, let's see the color of your money. I guess people are pretty much the same everywhere. That is, everywhere on Earth. They judge everything in terms of money, including whether you've even been born on Earth. Let's see your money, they say to Mr. Styria. And out he comes with one of those damn five-digino bills, and we're off.
You know, Alice Daniels said thoughtfully, in a way, it's a lesson, isn't it, Fred? I mean, everybody is money-conscious, maybe too much so. I'm not sorry it cost us $20 to meet Mr. Styria.
You may be right, Fred said to her. You may be right.
Who knows? Someday this five-digino bill may be a very valuable...
There you go again, Alice cut in.
Always putting it in terms of money.
But you're the one, Fred said, who thought to ask him about it in the first place.
Don't quarrel, Mr. Mason, the hotel manager said to them. After all, for you, it's just a vacation. For me, I've got this man sitting in my lounge day in and day out doing crossword puzzles and trading short snorters with my guests. Nobody really believes he's from Venus. Nobody important, anyway. It's a little frightening when you're trying to run a happy hotel. Sometimes I wish he'd go back to wherever he came from.
Well, Fred said, he's bound to leave one of these days.
Maybe, Mr. Mason said doubtfully. Offhand, though, I'd say the way he's taking it in, he can't afford to.
Next on the Lost Sci-Fi Podcast, we'll hear a story written by a teenage descendant of Simón Bolívar. What lasts forever? Does love? Does death? Nothing lasts forever. Not even forever. Homecoming by Miguel Hidalgo.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a hacer tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.